What if your electric vehicle had a range of over 700 miles and could recharge in just 10 minutes? That's not science fiction. It's the finish line for a technology race that will define the next decade of global manufacturing. This week, we're seeing the frontrunners make their final push. The transition from laboratory theory to factory floor reality is happening now, and the implications for Western industry are profound. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global competition. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we are focused entirely on one topic, the race to commercialize all solid-state batteries. A flood of announcements from Asia to the US has suddenly brought the timeline for this game-changing technology into sharp focus. We're seeing massive investments, firm production dates, and specific performance targets that were, until recently, just ambitious goals on a PowerPoint slide. Today, we'll break down who is leading the pack, what technology they're using, and what US and European companies must do to compete. Troy, let's start with the headline news. We've seen major players like Samsung, Toyota, and several Chinese giants all put a date on the calendar. What's the big picture?
The big picture is that the timeline has collapsed. Samsung SDI announced it will begin mass production of all solid-state batteries in the second half of 2027, backed by a nearly $18 billion investment. Toyota is targeting 2028 for market launch of an EV with a staggering 1,200-kilometer range and a 10-minute fast charge.
1,200 kilometers is over 745 miles. That doesn't just compete with gasoline cars, it beats many of them. But we're seeing even more aggressive timelines out of China, correct?
That's right. GAC Group says it will have cells with an energy density over 400 watt-hours per kilogram in its Aeon production vehicles by the second half of 2026. And another firm, Greater Bay Technology, is already shipping A-sample cells from a mass production designed line, targeting gigawatt-hour scale manufacturing that same year.
For a US or European auto manufacturer, this sounds like a five-alarm fire. What is the immediate competitive threat?
The threat is a multi-year performance gap. If your competitor's vehicles in 2028 offer double the range and a fraction of the charging time, you are fundamentally uncompetitive. This isn't an incremental update, it's a technology leap that redefines the product. Western automakers risk being locked out of the premium EV market if they can't secure a supply of comparable batteries.
And for Western trading companies and distributors, what does this accelerated timeline mean?
It means the window for establishing partnerships is closing. The sourcing of precursor chemicals, specialized manufacturing equipment, and the raw materials themselves for solid state will be a massive new market. But Asian battery makers are aggressively building dedicated domestic supply chains right now. If you're not in discussions, you're already behind.
So the actionable insight is that executives must secure their solid state strategy immediately?
Precisely. They must be in deep diligence with developers, exploring joint ventures, or making direct investments. Waiting for the technology to be proven in a competitor's 2027 vehicle is a strategy for failure.
Let's get into the technology itself, Troy. We hear the term solid state, but it's not one single thing. The announcements this week reveal a battle between different chemical approaches. Can you break that down for us?
It all centers on the electrolyte, the material that moves lithium ions back and forth. There are three main families competing: sulfides, halides, and polymer composites.
Okay, let's take them one by one. Sulfides?
Sulfides offer extremely high ionic conductivity, which is key for fast charging. Samsung SDI is focused on a sulfide-based approach, and the first Chinese road test, completed by Zhang Keiyuanbin, used a sulfide battery. Their major weakness, however, is extreme sensitivity to air and moisture, which dramatically complicates manufacturing and raises costs.
High performance, but a manufacturing nightmare. What about halides?
Halides, like lithium YCO6, show much better air stability and are compatible with the high-voltage cathodes needed for maximum energy density. We're seeing very clever strategies emerge here. For example, BYD in China just filed 6 patents for a dual electrolyte cathode that uses a stable halide material right at the interface, combined with a fast-conducting sulfide material for the rest of the electrolyte.
A hybrid approach, taking the best from both. And the third option, polymers?
Polymer-based electrolytes are flexible and easier to manufacture, but they've traditionally had lower conductivity.
The innovation here is creating composites. Researchers are embedding inorganic ceramic fillers like garnet type LLZTO or sulfite particles into a polymer matrix. This creates dedicated pathways for the ions to travel, boosting performance while retaining manufacturing advantages.
So, for a European components manufacturer, what's the strategic play here? You can't bet on all three horses.
You don't bet on the horse, you sell to all the jockeys. The real value is in the enabling technologies that solve the core problems of each chemistry. For sulfides, that means developing advanced atomic layer deposition coatings that protect the interface. A recent paper detailed a polyelectrolyte nanocoating that dramatically improves stability. This is a high-margin, defensible niche.
So the actionable insight for executives is to focus R&D on these critical enabling technologies?
Exactly. Don't try to compete on bulk electrolyte production where Asia already has scale. Focus on the high-value interface materials, coatings, and binders. That is where U.S. and European firms can build a moat of intellectual property and become indispensable suppliers to any of the winning platforms.
A great lab result is one thing, Choi, but building the industrial machine to produce these batteries at scale is another challenge entirely. What are we seeing on the manufacturing and supply chain front?
This is where the competition becomes intensely strategic. LG Energy Solution announced it's building a pilot line for a dry electrode process set to be running in the second half of 2026. This process eliminates the need for toxic solvents and massive energy-hungry drying ovens.
That sounds like it could slash production costs and factory footprint.
It's a revolutionary process innovation that could be just as impactful as the cell chemistry itself. At the same time, we're seeing a full court press in China to build out the upstream supply chain. Jim Woozy just received environmental approval for a 500-ton-per-year pilot base specifically for solid-state cathode and electrolyte materials.
So they're not just building the battery plants, they're building the plants that will supply those plants.
It is vertical integration on a national scale. Toye Guning just announced a 30-gigawatt-hour solid-state battery project in Inner Mongolia, a 6 billion RMB investment. This is about controlling every single link in the value chain, from chemical processing to the finished cell.
How can a U.S. or European manufacturer possibly compete with that kind of coordinated industrial strategy?
By not playing the same game. The competitive advantage must come from areas that are harder to commoditize. Advanced robotics and machine vision for high-speed, high-precision cell assembly. AI-enabled battery management systems, which are absolutely critical for new applications in aerospace. And developing the specialized, high-purity precursor chemicals for halide and sulfide electrolytes.
So for trading and distribution companies, the opportunity is much broader than just the finished batteries.
It is. The real money will be in the specialized manufacturing equipment, the licensing of process IP, and the high-margin chemical inputs. Western firms should be positioning themselves as the sole source suppliers of the most difficult to make components and the most advanced production technologies.
The actionable insight then is to critically assess your core competencies and map them to these new emerging solid state supply chain needs.
Correct. If you are not a cell manufacturer, do not try to become one. Instead, aim to become the indispensable supplier of the most critical technology or material that every cell manufacturer needs to buy.
Troy, this has been an incredibly dense week of developments. Let's try to summarize it. What are the three most important strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, the timeline is no longer theoretical. Solid-state batteries are a 2026 to 2028 commercial reality. Western companies must accelerate their roadmaps to match this new pace, or they will be strategically obsolete before the end of the decade.
Second, the technology is diverging into distinct chemical pathways. For U.S. and European firms, the most durable competitive advantage lies not in producing the bulk materials, but in mastering the sophisticated interface engineering, coatings, and composite technologies that make these new materials perform safely and reliably. And third, this is fundamentally an industrial supply chain competition. While Asia builds out a vertically integrated production machine, Western manufacturers must focus on defensible, high-value niches, advanced manufacturing processes like dry coating, AI-driven battery intelligence, and the ultra-pure precursor chemicals that form the foundation of the entire system.
The message is clear. Accelerate, specialize, and build your partnerships now. A powerful summary. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. The race for the holy grail of energy storage has entered its final, decisive stage, and the strategic choices being made right now will create the next generation of industrial leaders.
The landscape is being redrawn in real time. In this race, inaction is the greatest risk.
Join us next week for another edition of Troy Technical Intelligence. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you never miss our strategic analysis.